to be in the house of the Lord. I'm not on. I just took that one from the... This must be a dead one, so we're going to throw that one in the trash. I had one up here. I don't now. Can somebody bring me one? Please. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Now. Technology. I always wondered how they, in the Old Testament, how they,
That one's about dead too.
Lord, Brother Ryan, did you give me a dead one? Well, that one is too. It's only one bar. All right, y'all gonna get a short sermon tonight. Don't be praising the Lord too quick. I got an extra one somewhere back there. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Middle of the week, wonderful day to be alive. This coming Saturday, we're gonna have Bible study from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and everyone's invited. We'll start at six, and I want to, before you leave tonight, if you go back to the back, they may not be enough, but on the right-hand side where the prayer requests are, there's a chart there that talks about the third pull, the three pulls, and that's what we're going to talk about if there is no questions Saturday. Saturday from 6 to 8, we got popcorn and cold drinks and stuff, and Brother Ryan makes sure he brings the strawberry. Yeah. A lot of it. But that from 6 to 8, we'll have a Bible study. And we'll also, it'll be on Zoom. So if you can't make it, if you want to Zoom it, then brother, and get with Brother Anderson. He's going to put it on the WhatsApp folder there, and you'll be able to Zoom it from your house, just like we used to many, many times before. And good to have the Ohio group with us tonight. And they'll be watching in Saturday also. Get back to doing that maybe once every other month or something. So Sunday will be regular church. Wednesday, next Wednesday, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us. Remember the 19th, there'll be two services. Remember that. And we'll have some other stuff coming up in just a little while. So you love the Lord? Amen. He's good to us. He is real good to it. Brother Joe Canada gave me this, and I want to read it because it's very profound. Brother Branham, he talks about how to get rid of a devil. Now, if y'all don't need this, just pray for us that do. Mark 7, verse 26 through 30, it talks about the Syrophoenician woman. And it's not going to be on there. Joe didn't know I was going to put it on here, but it's very profound. I want you to listen to this. Remember, he said that Jesus said, paraphrasing, let the children be first filled, but not meat for the children's bread to cast to the dogs. She was a Gentile. And she said, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Now, what did Jesus say after that? And he said unto her, for this saying, not for this shouting, speaking in tongues, laying on of hands, anointing, whatever you want to call it. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And Brother Branham on Questions and Answers, 1959. Listen to this. Say good things then. Say something good about somebody. Talk about Jesus. Say something loyal, something real. That's the way to get rid of devils. Amen. Brother Brown's a prophet, right? We believe? Okay. He never prayed for the girl. He never said one thing about her being healed. He just said, for this saying, for this saying. Hattie Wright the other day, she didn't ask for nothing. She was just sitting there, but she said the right thing which pleased the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke back and said, Hattie, ask anything you will, whatever you got and you want. That's so profound. Say something good. Say something good about somebody. Talk about Jesus. Say something loyal, something real. That's the way to get rid of devils. Amen? That's very profound. And you know what, though? It's very easy. But it's very easy to not do it. Amen? Gets back to the statue of perfect man, brotherly kindness. Say something good about somebody, even though somebody says something bad about you. But if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Revelation 6. 1, we're going to, this will probably finish up the first seal. I want you to understand one thing, that this is, the revelation of this is individual. I can stand up here and talk. Brother Branham was bringing the seal, just he was bringing it right straight from the mind of God. And nobody understood it. Because it wasn't time. They didn't have the foundation. If we don't have the foundation, we're not going to understand it. I'm sorry. It's just in another level. Okay? That's just like taking a kindergartner and putting them in college. No, but you can take a kindergartner and put them through the first grade, through the 12th grade, and then prepare them, and then when they go to college, they'll know what to understand when they're in college. And let me just remind you that we're talking about, you know, everybody says that we're third pool people. Well, Brother Bram said the third pool was Jesus going to hell and preaching to the prisoners that were already dead that couldn't be saved. So be careful when we say we're third pool people. We are. But the third pool is the opening of the Word. But the opening of the Word is going to do one thing. It's going to put you in or it's going to put you out. Because it's like with Noah. It's going to either put you in the ark or it's going to seal you out of the ark. So it's a perilous time. We look at all the things that are going on in the world and how unstable everything is. They've done shut the strait down again, so our gas prices will probably go back up again or more. That controls the whole world, folks. And I was reading today where Brother Branham said, watch Russia. This was in 1953. Brother Branham said, watch Russia when she goes down after the oil. Okay, and Russia's over there with Ukraine. They're fighting. Ceasefire's going on. Didn't last but just a few minutes. They were bombing each other last night. So there's nothing stable in this world but the Word of God. And that should be our number one priority, is the Word of God. Not our feelings, not our emotions. Amen? Amen. Brother Bram said, when we come to church, we're supposed to, what? Come in here, sit down, be quiet, pray, read your Bible. So if you're in this building, you need to be up here praying and reading your Bible, unless you got something real serious to talk about. You need to be up here while Brother Bram's preaching. That's the voice of God. Okay? And that's where we got to get. That's where we got to get to that. That's iniquity. That's knowing better and doing it anyway. Okay? And I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. But we're going to have to try to figure out a way not to be guilty of it. Because iniquity is everywhere. Because it said it will abound. And the love of many will wax cold. Jesus told us. He told us that when he was here. He said, you're not going to, you know, you need to, the two best commandments is, one of them is what? Love your Lord thy God and love your brothers, you love yourself. Amen. So no excuse. God's taken all the excuses out. Excuses are those little feathers that were in our nest. Every feather that comes out that God pulls out, that's an excuse. Because you know what? That's an excuse for you to stay in a nest if that feather stays there. Okay? He's going to pull the feathers out from under us and let us. He's going to let us see. As we were talking Sunday, it's a great thing to see that Jesus' finest hour was in the garden where he fought it out. Then we know he went to Calvary. But remember, Judas was there, right there with him. Even Judas come back into the garden with him. God gave him all kind of chances to repent, and he didn't. So I want us to be real diligent, especially for the next several months, as we continue into the second seal and third seal, we want to see that our journey is worth it if we want it to be worth it. If you're bride, you'll do what God said. If you're not bride, you won't. I mean, it'd be so close. Brother Brown said Judas was right there, and we saw it Sunday. He was right there. He took the meal, not the communion. He took the meal. Right. Jesus even washed his feet. But he couldn't go any further than that, and he left. All right? So that's what's going to happen is we're going to all find out who we are. And it's a perilous time, but yet it's the most wonderful time in the world. We're going to see, and we are seeing, the culmination of the message of the hour. We're seeing the culmination of what Jesus spoke of when he said there'd come wars and rumors of wars. Perilous times will come. And when iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus spoke that, you know. And that's what we're looking at now in the seals, is we have got to get to where number one, we realize iniquity, where it is, and prevent it. You're the only one who can do it. Because iniquity is something you do or don't do. Not something God, something somebody else, you. So it's an individual affair. All these seals is an individual affair. We have the people here to understand it. I believe that. Amen? Because if we don't see that, I got myself a note right here. We see our iniquity. When we do, that changes our nature to fit the word of God. When we see our iniquity, not if we find out we got it, we know we got it. But when we see it, it changes our nature. Listen, it changes our nature in that second realm. Your nature's already changed in your soul if you're born again. Your nature's God. But that thing is so far down deep inside of you that sometimes you hold on to it and your memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination will not let it out. Right. It won't let it work. Right. Sorry, that's free will. That's free moral agency. Amen. To do or not. But I said many years ago, let it out. But remember, folks, that's preeminence. We got to look at the preeminence of God. Amen. Preeminence is he gets everything preeminence. Whatever you got after that, garbage. Preeminence. But if we see our iniquity, it changes our nature to fit the word of God. That gives God preeminence in our life. Amen. And God will not go over your free moral agency. Amen. But he knows and saw a group of people that would do it. Right. That would make mistakes, fall, have problems, but get up and continue on. And that's what we're here for, to get up and continue on. Move forward, because you're either going to move. Look, even Brother Brown said the backslide is just to stand still. Right. Backslide's not going backwards. No, it's standing there and all the other people going forward. That makes you back here. Right. All right? So we need to move forward. Move forward in the word of God. Revelation 6, verse 1. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Romans 5, verse 1. We're going to get into this evening, because that's going to continue on. Justification continues on. But you got to see, we're going to see that in just a little while, the only way you can be justified is to have faith. The only way you can be justified, you think about it, you can't justify yourself. But you got to have faith that the justifier has already done it for you. And we'll read that too. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. But we got to get to this part where we know where the Antichrist is. The Antichrist is a spirit. But it's a spirit on a person or persons. It's a spirit on somebody. But now remember, just like somebody that's possessed by a devil. You remember Brother Brandon when he cast out that devil of that young lady? And then a few days later, she got to act in the same way again? Somebody asked Brother Branham. He said, she loved that spirit, so it just came right on back. That's why in the book of Luke, it says the unclean spirit goes out. Well, when it goes out, the door's open. When it goes out of your house, swept and garnished, you're sanctifying it. You're sanctifying it. But what happens is that unclean spirit comes back and says, that's my house. That's my house right there. That's where I used to live. And if you don't have it sealed and say, no, this is now God's house, he's going to walk right back in, and he's going to be seven times worse. He said he's going to bring more of his friends with him, and you'll be seven times worse than you were before. That's how strong, and we'll get into sanctification, but now we're going to talk about justification here. But let's continue with the Antichrist spirit. The book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit will come into the church, defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now, that's what happened at Nicaea and all the different places where the devil put little seeds of doubt in people's mind, all right? Put little, and then there were sayings. People said, well, I don't know if Jesus can't be God. He cried. Jesus can't be God. He was hungry. Jesus can't be God. He got mad. You understand? And then you start formulating that in your head, and without any teaching, you'll accept it. Right. Some of you sitting here, you accepted the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Right? As what, Brother Boyd? As the Bible. That's what God said. But it had no truth in it at all. You see how deceptive that is? It has no truth in it at all. Brother Ram said that Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine came from the pits of hell. Wow, how about that? That doctrine came from the pits of hell. But the Antichrist spirit has now put it where everybody's baptized that way unless you have a true revelation. Everybody is baptized that way unless you have a true revelation. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church, defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, which is the book of Revelation. And you and I, that Brother Dale, a long time ago, remember he told us that was the bride's book. Right. He did that whole series on the book of Revelation. He said, that's the bride's book. Right. Why? Because we're the only one that can understand it. Right. And we're all in that. Every bit of that's done with us involved, even from Revelations 1 to Revelations 22. Because that's the new city. And who lives in the new city? We do. Okay? It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. That's why the prophet of God had to restore everything back. We know that. Right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. Now listen, cast him into the lake of fire, that's on over there a little bit. He's still alive and well here right now. All right? He's still alive in the millennium, but you see how powerless he is. If you'll understand the revelation of the millennium, that the devil's not dead, right. He just can't work because nobody will accept his lie. Right. And that's us. Yep. And the whole whoever's going to be there in the millennium, they are so much under the influence of the bride and bridegroom till they don't take any other thing besides what the bride says and what the bridegroom says. What the son of David, their king, says. Well, their queen's sitting there too. But at the very end, he has to be loose to do what he's going to do, and then God puts him in a lake of fire, and that's where he stays. All right, everybody with me? He knows that if the people get a true revelation of the true church, that's what we're getting now. Listen, it's honing down time. It's time that we're going to have to be the goods that God said we were. Okay? And that comes from teaching, listening, read your Bible, study, do the things of God. Listen, we don't have to buy it. It's without money and without price. It's just a yielded life. That's all it is. It's a yielded life. They don't care how much money you got in your pocket. It's a yielded life. And you can yield yourself the other way. But if we get a true revelation of the true church, which we know who she is the bride of Jesus Christ in the message of the hour. She is the message of the hour. She's not in the message is in her. Right. All right? And she's the final voice of the final age under her messenger, so she speaks what he speaks. If she gets to what she knows what she stands for, she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. What if today we just spread out today and just threw it all over our mind that we had no evil thought? That we had no thought outside of the Word of God? It would break out into a revival. But as I've said before, and as I hope you agree, that sometimes, and I hold my hand up too, sometimes we bring spirits in here that hinders the service.
Right. Right. That's right. Amen.
Well, those of you who don't say amen, I'm going to say amen for you. Because you can see it in your face sometime. Amen. And you listen, you can have a bad day. Listen, that's humanity.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Right.
You say that's the devil. No, it's just having kids.
Right.
No, that's just having a husband. I'm here. That's just, Sue, give me a hand up one more time. She's real quick with that. And having a wife. And animals and cars and, you understand what I mean? But the spirit God is really helping you with is religious spirits. The God of this evil age is the God of this evil age. I was thinking yesterday, watching some of these new wave Christian singers. You know, you can't tell them from rock stars anymore. But they're praying to their God.
Right.
And then now it's in the White House.
Right.
God is good. God is great. God's doing this for us. Well, what God are they talking about? If Brother Brown, don't get quiet on me. If Brother Brown said this nation was gone, don't even pray for it. He said, you can pray for the individual people, but do not pray for the United States of America. That's what he said. I'll find you the quote if you need it. You ought to know it. He said in 1956, he said, she'll either turn it down this year or she will accept God. And then in 1957, he said, she turned it down. That's been a long time ago. So they are worshiping their God. Because the God of this evil age wants to win. And he's what? He's in high places. Come on, folks. He's in high places. So when we say glory to God, listen, glory to God that people don't get killed, and glory to God all that maybe the economy will get back better. But that ain't got nothing to do with your Christianity. It's the Word of God is what your Christianity is based on. Not whether the prices are up. Now, prices being up may prove that you have temperance and patience when you're paying $5 and $6 a gallon. Talked to a guy the other day out in anyway, he was out somewhere in like New Mexico or somewhere, and gas was like $6 a gallon. Oh, Chris Long. Yeah, it was $5.80 something cents a gallon for regular. Diesel was almost $8 a gallon. So we think we got problems. Everybody, listen, but that ain't got nothing to do with, I didn't call him for us to talk about that the whole time. We just talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, but we know these things are going to happen. We should not be blindsided. That's why God give us a prophet. That's why God give us a prophet in every age, is not to be blindsided by the spirit of the Antichrist that comes into that age. Everybody with me? Because it's a spirit in high places. It's not a spirit. It's not, like I said before, it's not whether you can't pay your bills or whether you got a job or not job or a good. It's Christianity is a religious spirit if you allow it to be just a religious spirit, but Christianity is a life.
Amen.
And your thoughts and attitudes should be toward that first. That's preeminence.
Right.
All right? Because God's spirit will discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. Satan will be powerless before her. Listen, the only time, are you with me? The only time you need to worry about the Antichrist spirit is right now. You don't have to worry about it when it goes and incarnates a pope, because if you're going to be here during that time, you missed the rapture.
Right.
And you're going through the tribulation.
Right. Amen.
Right. So I don't even worry about whoever that pope is. He might be from the United States. He might be a woman. I don't care.
Right.
If we don't defeat the Antichrist spirit right here tonight, we are not going anywhere. We're going to stay here and we're going to physically watch all this stuff come to pass. And you missed it if you did. Listen, if you miss it there, you're missing it now. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Come on. It's not just you're going to come up to the end time and you're going to, you know, go, well, I didn't know all this was going to happen. Remember Brother Branham? Remember what he said? He said, they'll keep on thinking they're getting saved. Listen, this is after the Holy Ghost lifts off the Gentiles. No more Gentiles saved. They can cry out to God all they want to. Cannot get saved. But Brother Branham said they'll keep going to church. They'll keep thinking they're getting saved. Why? Because they're worshiping the God of this evil age. They're not worshiping the God of Jacob, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not. We do. We know him as Jesus. And he's going to take us out of here. Amen? He's the only one that's going to take us out of here. But look, Satan hates Revelation. That's why he fights it so much. That's why he puts these little birds in your head. I didn't say birds. I said birds. Put a little birds in your head to fly around in there and make you think of other stuff besides the Word of God. And it happens to all of us. But somewhere along the line, though, we've got to come to a place to where, as I said before, that we see our iniquity and it changes our nature, even though we're born again. Are you with me? Even though you're born again of the Spirit of God, we still have that middle man, the memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. We have got to overcome. Right there is where we overcome. Okay. Slow down a little bit. I didn't think I was real fast. So the seal is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the only reveal of the Word. All right? Even though you may be, listen, you may be a newborn babe. I was thinking of this morning. You know, I said to you, told y'all a couple of years ago, I said, look, God said he would not leave the young ones behind. Well, you know what? That's 2 years ago. You should be growing up by now. Hello. If you were a baby 2 years ago and you're still a baby now, you need to go check yourself. Whether you be in the faith or not, whether you believe what you think you believe. Because remember, this message is a progressive message. This message, listen, we were not even, listen, in this church standing right here, you didn't get a shotgun gospel. For those of you that weren't here when Dad was here or Brother Dale was here, then, you know, you missed a great college professor teaching us the Word of God. Not a shot in the dark over here, and I'm going to preach on love one day, and I'm going to preach on this over here, and I'm going to preach on... No, it was a progressive revelation that if you didn't get it, the tapes are there. Or the internet's there. You can go back and listen. God bless those brothers and sisters that in Ohio. That's what they're doing. They're going by it. They go back and they listen to Brother Dale's tapes every once in a while, even back from, you know, 2010, 2008. I can't get y'all hardly to listen to a message of mine if you're not here that Sunday. But that's okay. I ain't worried about that. It's your job, not mine. You miss church, it's your job to catch up, not mine. Now, I back up like Brother Dale backs up. I back up and go over it again. But if you miss a service, like I said, this is not a shotgun church. This is a church that if you miss 2 or 3 weeks, you've missed something. And I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about all these brothers that preach. There's a message going on. There's a puzzle that's being put together. And if you miss one piece, you don't get the puzzle. But I'll guarantee you, please don't be like the world. If the world misses a series on their television, hello, somebody. Yeah, they'll whatever the TV show is of the time. What do you name that? What is the call? How do you call that? You. Binge watch. But what is it though? If you put it, you're not at home and you want to see it tomorrow or next week. What? DVR, and we don't even have one. That's why I can't figure out how it is to go back and watch something. But they'll do that. They'll binge watch, or if they miss something, or if they miss a ball game, or miss a movie, they'll go back and watch it. But what about a church service?
Right.
What about a church service? That's iniquity. That's knowing you should. If you got the Holy Ghost, there's something inside of you that knows, that tells you, you need to go watch that, or you need to go listen to that. Well, praise the Lord. That's why we got it. That's why we've got that kind of technology all around. I mean, all the churches, Brother Donnie and different ones, they all archive their sermons. Everybody does almost now. Even the small churches archive their sermons. Okay? But it's important to know that iniquity is here and it's prevalent and we need to get rid of it. When we're told to do something and don't do it, or we're told not to do it, we do it anyway. Over and over again. Okay, so let's make sure we got the Holy Ghost. At least get the Holy Ghost, and you know you got it in your soul. You know that the old you's been burnt out. That first nature that you were born with is gone. Now you got to work on the other nature that's in that spirit realm.
Right.
And that's why, in a progressive teaching, that's why that's important. That's your second realm. That's your second part of your journey, is getting these virtues working in your life. All right? So revelation is the only thing that breaks the seal. That's why the people that were with Brother Branham during that week, they didn't have the background of revelation.
Right.
And most of them were wanting signs and wonders, and most of them left the message when he left, so they were just there for the fishes and loaves. I'm sorry. Because
right.
If you ever catch a true revelation of this message, you won't leave it.
Right.
You can't leave it. If you try, it'll torment you day and night. So the Holy Spirit has something sealed from Daniel to now. We've already been through that, all right? And what is it? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you, taking out all the bad and putting in all the good. Pretty much that's what it is, okay? So remember, there was a copycat that came out in the first seal, but there was an original. There was an original church that had power. They had the spirit of the lion, L-I-O-N. They had, were bold. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, see, that got missed all the way down after Nicaea. They said, no, let's just give it to one priest, and you go say your penance, and you go give some money, and you take the Eucharist, and go on back about your life. We'll take care of you. That's what it went from there to here. That's why Brother Man had to come. That's why there had to be a prophet come. Because the prophet spoke it, Paul. A prophet had to come in the end time to bring it back. That's why he kept saying, I preach what Paul preached.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
But see, then Paul never preached the seal, so he brought, when Brother Man in 1963, he says, in other words, this is something new. This is something that man's never seen. Listen, he had all those dreams and visions, how that he cut the top off of the mountain and looked down in it, and he said, light had never shined on this. That didn't mean it wasn't there.
Right.
That didn't mean that they read the Bible for 1,500 years. They were reading the Bible from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost, but they were reading it with what? They were reading it with Trinitarian eyes.
Right.
They weren't reading it with a real gospel. That's why we can't go back to that, because we have the real gospel.
Amen.
We're the Omega Bride.
Amen.
And they used the sword of the word. And remember, they were born-again believers. And they brought souls into the kingdom. Then we know that there was Satan. Superman comes in, brings a power in that looks like the white horse, that looks white righteous. The rider was a spirit. He had a bow with no arrow, so everything he had was false.
Right.
Everything he had, every doctrine he brought was false. But the world took it because of the anointing of the age.
Right.
Okay? And a crown was given, or authority to believe a lie, because God knew that someone would believe. Listen, God knew people would believe him and then believe the devil. So before the foundation of the world, he knew who were believers were and who weren't. Okay, this play's already been played out in the mind of God. But remember, so is the crucifixion was played out in the mind of God. But it had to naturally happen for a witness. Amen. You and I are a witness that Jesus Christ lives in our heart.
Amen.
Or not.
Amen.
So they went out conquering. We read about all that. Let's continue on. God even told them that even at the first church age, you had the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. God hated that thing, but he allowed it to continue on. Why? Because there's got to be a contrast. There's got to be a white and a dark, good and bad. But what we're looking now in the end time, though, folks, we're not looking at a white righteous church, real one, and a bad one that looks so much opposed to Paul and different ones. Everybody with me? Now, in the end time, they're like this. Brother Ram said those two churches or those vines are now intertwined. You can't tell one from the other except for the life.
Amen.
So all the way up to the third church age, he still hated that doctrine, but it became a doctrine. Okay? And then now iniquity. Remember again, iniquity. Sin is sin. Iniquity is overstepping your boundary that God put there and said, you should not do this right here. But yet, I'm going to do it anyway. Or the boundary over here that God said in the open book said, you should do this. That's why Jesus was so plain. When he said, if you don't wash feet with me, you ain't got no part with me. Now, who is he? He wasn't just a common man. He was God.
Right.
If you can't wash your brother's feet, you got a problem.
Right.
You're not born again. Because
right.
You ain't humbled yourself enough. If God Almighty can humble himself in human flesh to wash your stinking feet.
That's right.
I'm telling you, I'm tired of impersonations.
Right.
You either do it or don't. If you don't, you'll be damned.
Right.
If you do, you won't.
Right.
Jesus said this. I'm not making it up. Oh, he just meant that for Peter. Let's go back to about 2005. Brother Dale, hogwash.
Amen.
Garbage. Looks like garbage, smells like garbage, need to be taken out like garbage. Because why? It's garbage. That's why if we don't humble ourselves, you got a problem. Because
right.
I had to humble myself. I know I had to get rid of me.
Right.
To be a part of this gospel, you got to get rid of you.
Amen.
You can't have, well, I that's the problem when you said I. But it implies a deeper premeditated or habitual transgression. Listen, that is what Satan is. He is iniquity. He is the absolute author of iniquity. God is not the author of iniquity. Satan is the author of that, bringing it so close to where we know what we do when we sin. But if we're sitting here today knowing we should be doing something and we don't do it or vice versa, you're in iniquity.
Amen.
And listen, you can't get past yourself. You can't get past this first seal. That's why the first seal is the most important seal, because it opened first to tell you where God is, what he expects, and who he expects to do it.
Right. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord anyway. It's us. That's why the first seal is so important, to see one God and to see iniquity and to see, though, that if you get and overcome that iniquity, you're justified.
Right.
And the Bible says those who is justified, he's already. Wow. Romans 3, verse 20. Now watch. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. All right? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay? Until you are born again, you're under the law. The law will kill you. Do's and don'ts will kill you. You don't want to go to the white throne judgment by your do's and don'ts and by your deeds. I'm not. No. Because the Bible says you'll be judged by your works. See, today I'm judged by his works. If you're born again today, you're judged by his works. If he said to do these things or don't do these things, then that's what we got to do. Listen, I'm going to say this one time. When you were a born-again Christian, you had options. When you become a newborn babe in Christ, God knew you was going to fall. God knew you was going to do things wrong. God knew you was going to backslide. He knew you was going to commit iniquity. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like one. But when I became an adult, I put away what? My bottle and my rattle. And my blankie and my favorite teddy bear. Right, Luz? I'm sorry, Sister Luz. But isn't that right? So now he requires that we're different. Amen. He requires that we don't loop back around and have to have milk again. Yes, when new ones come in and when new ones come, absolutely. There's a way that the Lord will take you around and you'll hit certain things. But my heavens, folks, listen, there's a day when the door's fixing to be shut and they will be no more asking you, are you saved or not? Because remember, the third pull was preached to the totally lost. There's no way they could receive redemption. Hello? That's how serious this is. We better forget everything we used to know, because it's garbage. God requires that we understand him. God requires that we understand the Bible. God requires that we understand that when we walk in iniquity, that there we are, we know it, and we plead God to get out of it. Plead God. Not please God. We plead God to get out of it. Amen? Amen. If we're walking today, listen, even when Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but boy, you thought, look at me. I didn't even have to touch him. I didn't have to preach to him. I just talked to him. Well, it didn't make Peter big-headed or John either one. Why? Because he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Right. So therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's why you can't be justified. I'm talking about truly justified. Okay, the part that you never did it until you get out of the law. Okay, which means you get born again. Okay, now listen, even, and we'll not read it today, but maybe Sunday, Paul even brings it over under the adoption. That's why there's different stages of justification. All right, y'all ought to know that. Brother Dale taught it for 40 years that we know, 30 at least since we were here. Amen? Because it's a growth process. Surely, I mean truly, if you're justified, you will be glorified. You'll get a glorified body. But if you get justified over here and just get your sins chopped off, and then you feel like you need to go on and continue to do what you've been doing, then all you got was your past sins chopped off. Because God's just to do that. Listen, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It didn't say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be born again. There's a difference. Don't let the devil tell you there's a difference in that. You can have the Holy Ghost on your spirit that'll make you feel good, make you go to church, and your soul black as soot and it's going to hell. That's what we're looking at in the end time. I'm sorry, we're here. This is it. Right. Much is given, much is required. But if it's required curriculum, he's already give us the curriculum to go by. Hold on. Listen to me real quick. Now, when the Pentecostals came up out of Wesleyanism, all right, is everybody with me? In Wesleyanism, or Wesley, John Wesley, he preached sanctification. Is that right? He was a British, and he said, tea has no value. Why would you need to sit for an hour during the middle of the day and drink tea? He said, you know what? Go preach a sermon, because he preached, 4,000 sermons a year? He was a firebrand. But remember, when God moved on to the Pentecostals to give us the gifts back, to restore the gifts back, that group rejected it. That group rejected it, okay? So when you reject God, he puts you away. So the Pentecostals moved up to what? Sounded like that was the apex, or the, that's where God went. Their gifts are restored, man. Got people standing up prophesying, and it's coming to pass. Brother Ram said he thought he was among angels. He was a young minister, but he had a gift. And he knew that Holy Ghost was popping in that, they was walking the benches. And he said, I was among angels, I thought. He said, but God showed me after the service. I shook hands with that one man. I said, that man was living with another man's wife, committing adultery and speaking in tongues. So he said, that ain't it. But the Pentecostal said, that's it. Doesn't matter if you commit adultery or have three or four wives, whatever. As long as you speak in tongues. Well, see, God just moved away from that to here. Right. To restoring the word back, and then the revelation of the seven seals. Then the revelation of the headstone. Right. So there's a group that's come up, but there's a group that stayed or got stuck. Okay? Amen. Our problem is, we don't have another group to give it to take it further. Amen. The Pentecostals did. Luther did. Wesley did. Paul even said, I see through a glass darkly. I see something coming, but I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know. I have enough word. It's not my time. The resurrection is not. It's a resurrection right here. It's not a resurrection coming in Paul's day. It's what he told them. But that resurrection is in this day. There's no way around it. There's nowhere we're going to give it to somebody else. Nobody else is going to come and rise up and say, I got something different. Except one man. The man of sin. The man of sin will take this message and pervert it. Oh, don't get quiet on me. He's already perverted them out there. I'm sorry, perverted their doctrine. They're good people. And that's sad to say. But it is a separating time. When we got to the upper room in our journey to take communion with Christ, somebody left. There was a separation. Now, that ain't all. When he fully became who he was, which was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, tell me how many was with him then? Zero. The Bible said he died alone. Amen. You and I are going to, this message is not going to be a fruitful message. It's just going to continue on, and we're just going to keep, I mean, we've grown, but I'm talking about growing in God. I'd rather you grow in God than grow in numbers. Okay? But remember, the next thing we're at is the resurrection. We're not at a new doctrine. We're not at a new saying or a new deed. That's where Satan's at. Right. Amen. He loves to bring you something new. We all like shiny new cars. But that don't make you God. Or that don't make you love God more than other people that don't drive one. 2 Thessalonians says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed. The reason there's a falling away is because God is revealing where that man of sin is. He's not in the bride. So, can't be. But he's in the message. He's in the message of the hour, folks. I'm sorry. Get quiet all you want to. But you can see it working in the process. You can see all this underlying stuff that's going on, even in this great message of the hour. But you know what? Judas was betraying Jesus all the way up to the upper room. He left and did what he was going to do. He came back and kissed him in the garden. And still the disciples was like, where you been? Where you been, Judas? Called Jesus friend, kissed him on the cheek. Probably the way he greeted him before. Because remember, Judas said, whoever I kiss is the one that's the Messiah.
Right.
But this guy's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God. Or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now remember, Paul says, remember this, I told you when I was with you. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And I wrote that this time, now. All right? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's us. Then we know what's going to happen. He's going overseas. He's going to get into one man. He's going to be in a beast.
Right.
He's going to incarnate himself from this Antichrist spirit. He's going to move. Listen, because you and I, listen to this real quick. You and I started with this.
Right.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. We started with an Antichrist spirit. We were born wrong.
Right.
We were born anti.
Exactly. Amen.
I was. Pray for me. Some of y'all are so perfect. Good grief. No, you're just lying to yourself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord anyway. So we started here. Now what he's going to do is that spirit is going to go into a system.
Right.
Okay? But that system is going to be so much like the truth, but not the truth.
Right.
And then we start with this Antichrist spirit. And by the grace of Almighty God, we're in a system. But it's called a bride system. Okay? Because you got to have your contrast. We're in a bride system. Not a denomination, but an organism called the bride.
Right.
All right? Now, what's going to happen in the end time is we're going to be incarnate God to take a rapture. When we go up, Satan comes down and enters into that whoever, and he becomes the beast, the one that speaks, the one he actually morphes himself, or incarnate means to go into. So as God is incarnating the bride, Satan is standing there going, oh, that's what I feel.
That's right.
That's what I feel. That's what I can use. Hey, listen, the dude was over here in the Garden of Eden as the beast.
Right.
And what was he thinking?
Right.
If I can get into the bride,
right,
I've got her whipped. Smart, shrewd. If I can get into that bride, I got her whipped. But remember, Brother Brown said, this Eve won't fall like that one will.
Right.
Satan's going to come to us, and he's going to give us the same message, the same lie.
Right.
No, the best thing for you to do now is tell him, say, look, you're not my God. God's my God, but he said I was a God. Watch when you get quiet, because you know what? Brother Ram said that was when they started rejecting Jesus. It's when he said, I and my Father are one.
Amen.
And then Brother Ram said, when the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one, the shuck, the people that just hang around the message because it's a nice place to be and You can feel a good spirit every once in a while. I said every once in a while. Feel a good spirit every once in a while. But that shuck's going to dry up and go away so that the true grain can be shown.
Right.
Just for a moment. Because listen, folks. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus said, he said, unless a corn of wheat die and go in the ground, it abides alone, right?
Right.
So there had to be a death, burial, and a resurrection. Jesus. Then there had to be a death, burial, and resurrection on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
And then and through the dark ages, Brother Brown said it happened again.
Right.
It went in the ground at Nicaea. Come back up as a little shoot.
Right.
Went like this, and then went to the shuck, which was Pentecost. But he's not looking for that. He's not looking for stock. He's looking for the same grain that was put in the ground.
Right.
And when he said a corn of wheat, he was talking about himself.
Right.
That's why the Son of Man has to rise out of this. The Son of Man has, that seed's got to be planted. We got to see the, we are seeing the plant mature now. The plant's maturing now through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then out into what? The same piece of corn that was put in the ground.
Amen.
The same piece of corn.
Amen.
It's a miracle. When you go out, and those of you that plant garden or you don't, you know one thing's for sure. One seed. I was thinking about this the other day. If you'll notice, I think a little bit. I got some time now to orbit a couple of days a week at the post office, so I think about y'all. That's what makes my heart flutter. For love, for love, for love. Oh, see, y'all. Y'all's all raising up going. But somewhere, the grass that's in your yard came from one seed in the Garden of Eden. Every tree that you see, some first seed started in the Garden of Eden. That's why there was one Jesus Christ was put in the ground. And now there's a many-member bride. Out of that one seed, out of that one you put in the ground, when it grows up, there's two pieces that comes off of it called ears. And there's like 280 ears on each cob, 200-something kernels on each cob. So now out of that one seed came two pods that are 500-something seeds. And if you let them dry and put them in the ground, they're going to raise 500 more or 800 more or 600 more. That's the multiplication of God.
Right.
That's the same way he's doing now. There's a seed that was planted in our heart when we got born again, and that seed was a seed of eternal life.
Right.
And he keeps calling you to a higher order,
yeah,
to something different, to be different,
right,
to act different. Because I can look back and see where Jesus was put in the ground. But he didn't stay there. Because
right.
If he did, he'd abide alone. But he came up on the day of Pentecost with 120 little pods, little seeds.
Right.
Out of them 120, 3,000 little seeds was downstairs the same day.
Right.
Boy, God can bulk up. I wish I could grow a garden like that. I'd plant one. I wouldn't have to worry about 3 months of hard labor to get that, seed up to a corn. But that's God. God can multiply in seconds. Everybody with me? That's what we're looking for, though. There's not, that seed is not going in the ground ever again.
Right. That's
why you die once.
Right.
And listen, that death is not when we put you in the ground.
Right. Right.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Right.
Listen, if you ain't dead in Christ now, you ain't going to rise first. Because
right,
there's nobody in Christ that's dead. Don't we believe that?
Yes.
He sleepeth. They're just asleep. They're over in another dimension.
Right.
More alive there than they were here. They don't have all that baggage.
Amen.
All that garbage.
Amen.
But you know what? Even though in that complete bliss, even in that complete bliss, they told Brother Branham, said, we're not perfect here.
Right.
You'd think, man, I got no bills to pay. I ain't got to go to work. I got no heartache, no trouble.
Right.
Let me go a little deeper. I don't have aught against my brother anymore.
Right.
I thought about that the other day. I could see it just plain as somebody walks through the curtain of time. Every bit of that just sheds off.
Right.
They're not going to get over there and fight each other, even though they may have a little bit of differences. If they're born again, they're not going to go over there and say, I told you. Told you 20 times. No, they said, oh, my precious brother.
Right.
Oh, my precious sister. We made it.
Right.
I'm not worried about all that garbage.
Right.
That was all human emotion.
Right.
But it just sheds off like a coat.
Right.
Stays in, just goes away. I mean, even when they come back here, Sue, they're not going to come back here and get in that body and go raise and say, I don't like you either. I didn't like you to start with. No. That all goes away. Every bit of that leaves. That's why the Bible says some men's sin goes before them. Some goes after. If you don't get it right here, even though you're a Christian, born-again Christian, if you don't get it right here, when you come back here, you're going to have to get it right. Because there will be a judgment that Brother Paul told us of the deeds of the body, whether good or bad. All right? So let's get it all finished here. That's why Jesus told us the first greatest two commandments was what? If you love your neighbors, you love yourself, and you love your brothers, you love yourself, you ain't got to worry about them.
Right.
It's when you don't. I love you, Regina Arlern. I love you. I do. You're my sister. Now watch. Grief. We ain't getting nowhere. We got Sunday. If you don't mind, pull that chart up, the second one. We'll not go through the first one. We'll do it Sunday. Sorry, I get rambling and got the spirit of Aaron Roberts on me. Which is just fine. I can't get up here and talk to you about mathematics and all that other stuff, but we did this chart. This is something I want you to look at because that's what we're going to talk about Saturday. So I wanted to get to this, so we're going to do this and then we'll close. So Brother Ram talks about three pulls, all right? Everybody with me? All right, real slow. Okay, Luis is seeing it on there. So, all right, look. So now, Brother Ram told us. He said the first pull. Don't have the pointer. The first pull was healing. There was a healing campaign went out. Now, that's what you need to pick up at the back door. There's some of them run off. Brother Joe likes to massage you. He don't like them squares and... What do you say right for? That's all I knew how to do, and somebody did that for me. Half y'all in here couldn't do no baronet either. So, keep your comments to yourself. First of all, Brother Brown told us there was three pulls, all right? He said the first pull was healing. Jesus had a first pull. He healed the sick, raised the dead. Brother Ram had a first pull, healed the sick, raised the dead. Everybody with me? People loved him. All by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. But the second pull of his ministry, Jesus' ministry, we'll read it Saturday. I'm just going to give you this overview, give you something to think about. So the second pull was prophecy. Now that's not prophesying. That's prophecy. That's giving of the word of God. And Jesus was God. So he's given us the word of God. Okay? But that's when people started hating him. When he said, I and my father are one and all these other things. Now listen to what Brother Branham said. He said, look, if we're under the third pull, which we are, third pull ministry, we're transitioning from the second to the third pull. Because the third pull is the opening of the word. Now you think, well, he went and preached to the souls in prison. Why did he do it? He did it because of the opening of the word. Listen, hold on. Listen. Squint your eyes like that. Listen, the opening of the word separates. It shows who's good and who's not, or who's right and who's wrong. Right? Amen? So the second pull, he was preaching his prophecy. Brother Branham was preaching his prophecy from 1947 to 1963. Now, I'm telling you, God winked at everybody's ignorance during that time, because he winked at the ignorance of the people down through the church ages. Right. But there's a time when he's not going to wink anymore. Because right. Jesus, he put up with the disciples murmuring, complaining, who's best, who's not, who's going to sit over here, who's going to do this. And he said, don't worry about it. But when he started saying, I and my Father are one, he quit preaching to 5,000 and 6,000 people. Brother Branham, when he started preaching, when he started bringing back what was preached in the first church age, second church age, when he brought that back, which was what? The faith of the fathers. Right. When he brought that back, people started going away from him. Right. Now, during the third pull, that was during the opening of the seals. When the seals opened, it actually killed people. Sorry. It opened the door for us. He shut the door for others. That's when God's not going to strive with man all the time. God's not going to put up with our little petty ideas all the time. He's going to say, this is it. I'm shutting the door. And I'm sure Noah was standing in his pulpit preaching when God said, get in the ark. Get you and your family in the ark. And Noah's like, let me preach one more sermon. He said, nope, they hadn't trusted you in 120 years. They're not going to trust you tomorrow. Right. Get in the ark. So when Jesus died, he went to hell and opened the word to the people that were in hell. Because right. Remember, Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. Right. Is that all right? Are we all right? Right? That's the opening of the word. The opening of the word is what will kill you. Amen. Good and bad. That's why we need to die. The opening of the word will kill the old us. But if we reject it or continue in iniquity and all the different things, then it will absolutely shut the door. There's some of those Pentecostal people that rejected him when he started preaching. He preached all these different sermons. He preached the seals. Got to the end of the seals. He said, a lot of my friends are going to go away from me. He started preaching souls in prison now. A lot of people are going to pull away from me. He preached marriage and divorce. He said hundreds of people, hundreds of my friends will leave me on this. Well, that's what, you know what he was doing? If they rejected that, they rejected God. Hey, folks, Moses took 2 million people out of Egypt. They weren't all Israelites, but he took 2 million people out. And of the original 2 million people, two million, one in a million, to 2 million. Look, 2 million, that's a big city. Two people. And 2 million heard the message of Moses. The rest of them died in the wilderness. And Brother Branham said that God, when they told Jesus that, Jesus said they're everyone dead. Amen. Eternally lost and cannot come back. Right. Noah's age, 120 years. 8 souls got in the ark. Okay? If it wasn't the days theirs, it is now. There's 7.5 billion people in the earth back then. That's what's going through the Strait of Hormuz. And people that turned into gas. Well, praise the Lord. That's a That's a subject in itself. Listen, they never told you in school that plants and they told you that plants and animals is what made oil. They didn't tell you it was 7.5 billion people involved in that too. Why do you think there's more oil over there? That's the cradle of civilization. Don't y'all know your history? Put some word with the history. That was the cradle of civilization. That's why there was more. There was probably 10 billion people or 6 billion people living in that one little spot, and the rest dispersed all over the world. That's where all your oil's at. We're filling up on. Anyway. But remember, that's who Jesus went and preached to. That was his third pull ministry. He preached to the totally lost that had no way to make it back. He went to hell and said, I'm the one that Moses told you about. I'm the one that Noah told you about. I'm the one that Isaiah told you about. Jeremiah, he said, I was the one, and I'm a witness. That was his third pull. Brother Ram's third pull is the same way. You reject this message, I don't see how you can make it. You've sealed yourself off. And God forbid. Exactly, brother. If there's something you don't understand in this message, you just say, I don't understand yet. Don't say, I don't believe that. Now, unless it's a goofy, false doctrine. But right here. So, the first pull, healing, prophecy, opening of the word, which is parallels to justification. Which what? What does healing do? What, when you get your past sins chopped off, that heals you
right.
of your former self.
Amen.
All right? The second pull is prophecy, sanctification. What cleans you up? The washing of the water by the
word.
Hello. The third pull, listen, the Holy Ghost, the old you is dead. It can never come back if you're born again.
Right.
It is eternally separated. That old nature is. It's gone. Then we're going to come down and we're going to come back out. This is where people don't understand that the first pull, that justification was when you first got started. The sanctification is when you first got started. The Holy Ghost is when you first got started. But you got to continue on. As we haven't read, but we're going to read, once they went in the Holy of Holies, that priest had to come back out and live it. Then the next year he had to turn around and go right back through. Right back through that same door. He didn't come in another door. He went right through justification, right past all those sacrifices, had to have one for himself.
Right.
He had to dress right. He had to be sanctified again.
Right.
That's why the Bible says, once and for all, Jesus did that for us.
Right.
But remember, Paul said, I die daily. So there's a sanctification every day. And then there's a higher opening of the word. We're going to talk about this Saturday, so we're just going to continue on. If you'll see those four, remember, four messengers killed the tree. Four messengers are going to bring it back. Are four stages of your journey. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you. They didn't get nowhere, but it's what you get when you don't get anywhere. Brother Brown said, souls in prison. Now I'm going to read this. They don't have it. Brother Brown said, look, now with our heads bowed, this is souls in prison. Listen. The Bible said they sang a hymn and went out. Remember, when they did that in the scripture, it's because they had crucified the ministry of our Lord's second pull.
Amen.
And the third pull was ready to enter. A few hours after that, he ascended into hell and preached to the lost that had rejected their mercy.
Amen.
We'll talk about that. I'll bring some more quotes Saturday, but God bless you. If you can't come, maybe you can get hooked up to Zoom, and we'd love to have you here because we just sit downstairs. We're not coming up here, for those of you that hadn't been here. We're going to sit downstairs, and we just sit around in that common room and drink coffee and tea and whatever more, and the Ohio group's gonna chime in too, so maybe some others. But you okay? Okay. Sneezed 3-4 times. But watch what we're gonna cover Saturday. If you can't come, it's not required. It's requested, but it's not required. It'll help you. I think it will. Those of y'all that went through it all those years, Did it help you? It helped me. That 2 hours downstairs, and I know a lot of you shaking your head, the 2 hours downstairs probably sometimes helped me more than the hour and so that Brother Dale preached up here. Just listen to him. Just sit back and take that topic and just absolutely pull it apart. So maybe we can do that Saturday with the three pulls of your journey, because we'd all have them. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that culminating in the Word made flesh. Amen. That is the Son of Man, or the headstone ministry. The Son of Man is who they crucified, and that's who they're going to crucify now. They're not going to accept certain things, because when you say, I am my Father of one, Brother Brown said, and these other things, he said, the shuck will pull away, because they're not seed. And I hate that. But let's just make sure we're seed. Make sure you're seed. Make sure that you know that you know that you know. And there's a way to do that. Pray, read your Bible, study, listen, come to church, do the common things of God. Go to school. Amen? Let's sing a song. God bless you. Just sing a couple of verses.
Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Sitting right in your seat right now. Anything you need, pour out your heart to Him. You don't have to pour it out to me or anybody else. Pour it out to Him. Give it to Him. Amen. You know, I didn't get to cover this Sunday, but who did they release instead of Jesus? What was his name? Barabbas. Do you know what Barabbas means? Son of the Father. They released the wrong man. Abbas. Abba. Bar is son of. Remember, Bar, you are Simon Bar Jonas, son of Jonas. That's what one of the commentators said. I couldn't bring it out Sunday, but that's so fitting. He said, if that was his real name, he said it wasn't a coincidence, because he was called the son Bar Abba. We just sang it, Abba Father. Because it was Abba means father. So he was son of the Father. The real son of the Father was standing in Pilate's hall. And they released the wrong man. They released Barabbas. And they crucified the very son of the Father that was sent there to save him. But you know what? If they hadn't have done that, you and I wouldn't have come. You and I wouldn't have been saved. You and I wouldn't have been sanctified or filled with the Holy Ghost if it wasn't for that man hanging on the cross. Amen. Amen. That's just some things, a little tidbits that you think. Sometimes I was talking to a brother yesterday, and he said, man, that's awesome. We were talking about that. And he said, that is awesome. I said, you know, sometimes we just, it shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a moment. No, it's the Word of God. It's perfect. It's perfect. He was buried on the, he was crucified on the right day, buried on the right day, resurrected on the right day, came back on the day of Pentecost on the right day, just according to the Old Testament, according to Scripture. Then they took the Son of the Father and let him go and crucified the real Son, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Forgive us, Lord, for anything we said, Lord, is wrong, Father, but we have said with a heart that's burdened for every person, Lord, that's in this building, Father, and the ones online, different ones, Lord, it's just a burden on our heart to know that this hour's getting late. And Lord, we have a final upper room meeting. And Lord, don't let it be that anybody walks away. Lord, let it be that we'll all stay right there with you and commune with you, Father. Lord, the last sermon that your little prophet preached was communion. And Lord, I pray that we'll commune with you more than we ever have before. That you'll fill us with your love and your understanding. That you'll heal our sicknesses and touch our broken hearts. Bless us as we continue on our journey. Forgive us of our faults, Lord. As we say every time before we come to the pulpit, Lord, though I be a castaway, though as Paul said, I give my body up to burn, Lord, use it for your people. Every minister says that too. They offer their body up for you, Lord, to speak through, Father. And I pray that you do that more and more. Be with every minister here, Lord, and the ones that are online watching in, Lord. I pray that you'd anoint them, Lord, with the power of the Holy Ghost to give the Word of God the way it's supposed to be and never deviate from it. Father, be with us until we come back together Saturday, Lord, at 6 o'clock here downstairs. We'll talk about you a little bit more, Lord, and then we'll have a wonderful service, I pray, there on Sunday, Father. And, Lord, as we head into this weekend, Father, they're going to bury Brother Brady there on Sunday. We sure wish we'd have been there, but couldn't do it. But, Lord, may we all have our thoughts and prayers for the family, Lord, for this Sunday coming up when they put our dear brother to rest. We know he's resting over in the sixth dimension, but they're putting his body in the ground Sunday, Father, and there'll be tears and heartache and trials. There'll be loneliness. But, Lord, I pray that you, being the Prince of Peace, that you'll use that balm of Gilead, that you'll just touch each one, Lord, his congregation, his family. Everyone around the world has been touched by our brother, Lord. There comes a time when you take a soldier home, Lord, and we weep and we wonder why, but Lord, we know you're perfect. You do things right. You take the flowers out of the garden when you need and bring them home. Father, we'll see him again. He'll not be a stooped over old man with no hair. Can't remember who he was or who anybody is. No, that's gone. Praise God, we've got a God that takes care of all that. They just pushed that in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. The old Thomas Brady's not coming back anymore. But it's a new Thomas Brady, the one that was born again so many years ago, that walked in newness of life, and finally the old shell just wore out. And you took him home. He's in that sixth dimension, running around, Lord, praising you with Sister Gloria, his wife there, and dad, and all the different ones, Lord, that he knew. He's there with them, Father, congregating together, waiting on a time, Lord, that we'll call them back here, Lord. I believe that with all my heart, Lord. That you'll so saturate a group of people till death will have no hold. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us and keep us in our journey. Keep us strong and healthy. And give us this day our daily bread, Lord. And help us to forgive others, Lord, as you forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. are awesome in this place, mighty God.
And you are awesome in this place,
Abba Father.
And you are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise.
Yes, Lord.
And you are